Jewish faith and culture, there is a long tradition of telling the people's story, our story, regularly telling it, engaging with it in a family context. It is studied, it is pondered, it is reworked. Now, if we think of just a little bit of the history of the Jews, they were of relatively recent centuries. They were denied the privilege of land ownership throughout Europe until relatively recently. And that did mean that they were spared the problems that went with it. Their livelihood was not threatened by a poor harvest. Their wealth lay in learning, along with money and jewellery, which are portable resources. All of them can be reworked, they can be transformed according to the situation, unlike the land. I'm sorry, you didn't get the first paragraph of this, I leapt straight into paragraph two. Because the context was that I spend quite a bit of time listening to Radio 4, either in the car or while I'm pottering about at home committing news services, which would otherwise be bored. And there was a programme of recent riots in the city centres, which explored how we've historically reacted to different immigrant communities, how we think of incomers, groups of people who are not quite like us. And it related this to the persecution of the Jews in the UK, hate, think. And it made chilling listening. Because Jews were actually invited to the UK by William the Conqueror because they were useful. He needed their resources. But they were later persecuted, driven out, killed. And that pattern has repeated and played out over the centuries in Europe, as we know. So, as their wealth lay along with money and jewellery, those portable resources were carried with them, and so they were fair game for being set upon. Now, the stories that Jesus continually remind his listeners of the story of their people. And he knows that when he talks of bread, they will connect it with God's provision of manna in the desert. And that manna made an enslaved people into a coherent community. When Jesus talks about bread being flesh, they will connect that with the lamb of the first Passover and their escape from Egypt. But Jesus subverts it. He turns the usual meanings of the stories upside down. Because following the leads in today's gospel leads to the obvious conclusion that Jesus is saying he is God. Now, that was an unthinkable claim in Judaism. God is other. God is, well, God. God is not human, does not have human, well, limitations, or indeed any limitations at all. So it is blasphemy for a man to say that he is God. It is a capital offense. Hence, as we heard in the gospel, there were sharp arguments among them. Basically, they're thinking and they're saying, who does this man think he is? And how very dare he? And what were they to make of his talk of people eating his flesh and having eternal life and that connection with their own soul? And the people he had healed, well, they still seem to be mortal enough, and indeed they would die in the usual. The question that we always seem to be grappling with in these complex readings of the past few weeks is yes, but what is this all about and what was he telling them and what has that to say to us now? And what he's saying is something about all being in this together at an almost cellular level when we think of incorporating Jesus' body and his blood. We are in Jesus and Jesus is in us. Our daily food is incorporated, made our body, made our flesh. It is incorporated into our very being. Jesus gives himself and he becomes part of us more profoundly than we can ever understand. But just as Jesus isn't precious about his oneness with God the Father, neither are we to be precious about Jesus. We too are to be profligate with what God has given us. We are to give whatever we can, whatever we are, to feed one another, to feed everyone if they will eat. We are God's resource, Jesus' resource in our time and place for our people, and indeed for the wider world. And Paul, in his epistle, as he writes to his community, aims to bring the best out of each of them for the good of all and each of them. They are to be thoughtful, grateful, creative, loving, to nurture each other, to encourage each other. But they are also to be savvy, to be wise, to make the most of every opportunity. For, as he says, the days are evil. And our own times are no less precarious. As we have seen on our television screens and in the papers, only too often just recently. But we are assured by both Paul and Jesus that we will live. And we are commissioned to tell the story more through our lives than through our words, which is amazing. The stories which most inspire us and give us hope in general concern people who did what they could, gave what they could, without a hope of a personal gain. And others, perhaps in the next generation, then have opportunities, they have life chances, which they haven't had before. The world is a different and better place when we live like when we offer what we can, when we are open, kind, hospitable, generous with whatever we can. And Jesus shows us in his life quite how limited it can be when we just play it safe for ourselves and for people like us. Because there is a whole world out there. There are infinite opportunities to be generous, to be profligate. And if we clutch the things we hold precious too tight, how can they be available to everyone? And if we get that, even a little bit, we live in the present, not in the past, in past glories, ages old, not in the future where things will be better tomorrow, but in the present, but hoping to bless the future. And we are to tell our story, Jesus' story of love and salvation in our lives. And we are to tell it to and for the next generation. And then all we can do is live our lives and trust God and the folk to come to interpret it for their time and for the future. Amen.